Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
With the third pick in the 2022 draft, the Houston Rockets select Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn University.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
All right, it's Sean Morash and Ken Barkley at Meraz CBS at Lockie Lockerson here on You Better You Bet. I am in for Nick. On again, I keep saying, I don't know why, this might be an old Mike Francesa thing. I mean, the final Friday in June, okay? It's a beautiful day. Right. It's sunny. It's beautiful. I just keep reiterating what
From
date
the studios
it is.
Of FAN.
Right. What date and what the weather looks like. That just shows you that basically I grew up listening to New York sports radio. Sure. Our next guest, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Former executive Phoenix Suns, Ryan McDonough. You can follow him on Twitter at MCD. Joining us on the Roman guest line is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, and you can follow him on Twitter at MCDNBA. That was me saving a spot there. Hello, Ryan. How are you? Welcome in.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. I'm doing great, and it's always good to be on with you, especially 2 days in a row with Ken. I feel like I'm privileged.
Well, the questions are they've changed a little bit, Ryan, if you couldn't tell, correct? Because we have a lot more information to work with. And thank you very much, obviously, for joining us consecutive day going into the draft day, and then obviously the aftermath when there's a lot to unpack. I know I remember everything we talked about yesterday. So just like kind of put me in, you know, your living room. It's, you know, 7:30, 7:45, and the reports start to come out, and it's, hey, wait a minute, it might be Paolo Banchero. And I think everybody watching in that moment was kind of like, wait, what? You know, there were some bettors who were obviously elated. That's sort of beside the point. But you just sitting there watching, like, take us through the 7:45 to 8:05 window of your life consuming this. How surprised were you? Like, how did you react? You know, like, did you end up learning anything after the fact about what happened?
Yeah, I wasn't very surprised. And this is neat for your listeners. And you guys obviously follow the betting markets as close as anybody. The betting markets were way ahead of the NBA insiders, even some of the NBA teams. Paolo Banchero, Ken, we talked yesterday about the movement in the previous 24 to 48 hours. It was significant. People wondered if that was a head fake, and a lot of the top NBA reporters kept putting out that Jabari Smith was likely to be the pick. So I give the betting markets a ton of credit. They were right. Orlando ran a very interesting process. They didn't yield a lot of information. One thing that surprised me a little bit, guys, was them saying that they didn't really spend a lot of time with Banchero as far as working him out, interviewing him. They did bring the other players into Orlando. So it's good from a secrecy perspective, but I guess as a guy who did the job at a high level for a long time between the Celtics and Suns, I'm a little confused as to why you wouldn't spend more time with a prospect with it, on a decision of this magnitude, especially when you control the draft, having the number one pick.
Ryan McDonough, our guest. All right, Ryan, so on that note, you obviously have been inside NBA front offices, and I'm not going to ask you to reveal the secrets on how leaks happen or not, but we spent a good chunk of the first hour of the show basically debating you know, your trust level. Like, what we all know, Woj is the guy. He's the reporter in any other sport to go with. When he is wrong, like basically tweeting and setting the state, like this is the 1 through 3, and he was wrong yesterday, but the markets knew. Is that like a sign of the future here that we should always be following these betting markets? Or was this an Orlando Magic thing where they were just, you know, like you said, not working him out, just running a weirdly, really weird operation here when it came to the first overall pick? And this is kind of a one-off year when it comes to these reports.
Yeah, great question. And I talked to our friend Drew Dinsick yesterday, the Whale Capper. We texted back and forth, friend of the program here on the Odyssey family of networks. You know, he said a sharp bettor put a pretty significant bet down, I think sometime on Tuesday or Wednesday, and that shifted the market. So clearly, whoever that bettor was had some inside information that could come from a number of different people, especially those close to Paolo Mancero. But one thing that was really interesting and why whoever that bettor was who started this trend was extremely impressive is that Mancero himself, the player from Duke, said he didn't find out he was going to be the number one pick going to the Orlando Magic until shortly before, I think within a minute or so of them actually making the selection. So whoever had that information had, you know, sources close to either the Magic or the player himself, his agent. And his information was better than a lot of the top NBA reporters had. And I think that trend is something to monitor. You know, as you guys know, there are a lot of skeptics, especially the people who don't follow sports betting, you know, going into yesterday saying it's going to be Jabari Smith. It's definitely going to be Smith. It's not going to be anybody else. And they were wrong. It was Paolo Mancero, and the betting markets you know, seemed to be way ahead of the NBA insiders.
Ryan, let's talk about kind of like the actual basketball fit here for a second before we go into some of the other trades and kind of notable events from last night. So, okay, like betting aside, Mancero goes number one overall. Now, it's not really betting aside because Orlando's win total next year will be affected by this. Mancero to win Rookie of the Year will be affected by this. Like, do you think they made the right pick? How does he kind of fit with everything they want to do there?
Well, I think he fits well. I mean, you can make a strong argument that he could be the best player to come out of this draft. And that's why I thought, you know, it was a little overdone in terms of people just assuming Jabari Smith was going to be the number one pick. I understand why Orlando wanted people to think that. But for me, it's not a one or two player draft. To me, it was really a four player draft. Then there was a drop. We'll talk about what Sacramento did here in a minute, taking Keegan Murray instead of Jaden Ivey. But I could have made a strong argument for any one of those four guys, Mancero, Holmgren, Smith, Ivey, any of those guys to be the number one pick. And Orlando, more than anything, guys, they need young talent. They need a North Star, so to speak, some great young player to hang the rebuild or, you know, build around. And I think for me, that's the, you know, franchises who have done it well or at least gone on to succeed building through the draft. It's you get that one special player, whether it's a Steph Curry or Giannis or LeBron or whoever, and then you build around him. You know, I don't know if Mancero will be quite at that level. Those guys are headed to the Hall of Fame someday, but I do think he has a chance to be a really good player, potentially an all-star. Orlando drafted a perimeter player last year in Jalen Suggs, and the team clearly needs a lot of young talent. So, I can't argue with the pick. He was one of the top players all along through high school and AU, had a terrific year at Duke, and I understand why they took him number one.
You mentioned the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, they go Keegan Murray at four, and one of the more polarizing names, if not the most polarizing name entering the NBA draft, felt like it was Jaden Ivey. I mean, if I saw one more Ja Morant comparison over the last week, it was just insanity. But great athlete. A lot of people think may end up being the best player out of this draft class. And there is Sacramento with him, you know, in their laps at four, and they go Keegan Murray, basically choosing for positional need rather than best player available. Now, this isn't the NFL where if you have a great quarterback, you don't obviously take another great quarterback. This is the NBA where you can kind of, you know, align pieces. You can play some small ball. Do you think that Sacramento made an enormous mistake last night drafting basically for need rather than potentially best player available?
I would have taken Jaden Ivey. I don't think it's particularly close between the two players, in my opinion. But the Kings have drafted well recently, and this front office has only been there a couple of years. 2 years ago, they drafted Tyrese Halliburton. Last year, they drafted Davion Mitchell. So the fact, I think, that they had drafted a couple guards 2 years in a row, and Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield, two of the guards from that crowded backcourt, are now in Indiana as part of the Domantas Sabonis trade, that led me to believe. I thought they would take Ivy if he was on the board, which we all thought he would be, and he was. You know, they shifted with Keegan Murray. Is that new head coach and Mike Brown, who's obviously won a lot lately as an assistant with the Warriors, is that his influence? Did they not have a spot to land De'Aaron Fox on a max contract, because keep in mind, Fox and Ivy don't really play well together. I could see Davion Mitchell, especially with his defensive ability, playing with either guy. But, if you draft a guy in the top four, clearly you project that guy to be a starter. And if you don't think Fox and Ivy fit, and you don't have a home for Fox that you like on the trade market, then that probably steers you away. But, that'll be a heavily criticized pick. I feel bad for Keegan Murray, because the kid's going to come into the league with that scrutiny. But, guess what? That's what happens when you're drafted near the top of the lottery, and we'll see how it works out. But, again, I would have taken Jaden Ivey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ryan, if there was a situation last night that was seemed important but was by far the most confusing part of the night, it was all of these trades involving the Knicks, basically, right? And it starts with that 11th pick, which Usman Dieng gets taken. Is that the Knicks pick? Okay, no, it's not. He's going to Oklahoma City. Oh, well, wait, they're trading for Jalen Duren, and there were conflicting reports about that. No, he's actually going to Detroit, and now Detroit kind of seems set up with a good draft. So, I mean, there's those shots of, Stephen A. Smith on the set. Who did we get? Knicks fans couldn't really figure it out. It turned out to be nothing. It turned out to be, you got rid of Kemba Walker's contract and then got a bunch of protected firsts. It seems like down the road was the end of the net of this. Just try to kind of, in layman's terms, basically, make sense of what that was last night. And do you think any team made a particular misstep in how they handled that situation?
So the Knicks essentially punted on this year's draft to try to line themselves up to be successful in free agency. That's how I read it. I feel pretty strongly about it. We can talk about Jalen Brunson specifically maybe here in a minute, but I do think they were trying to blow open as much cap space as possible. Frankly, guys, I can't give them a ton of credit for that, because it seems like a lot of the things they are now trying to undo are things that this front office has done in the last year or so. Moving off of Kemba Walker last night, we've heard that they'd like to move off of Alex Burks and Nerlens Noel and Evan Fournier. Well, they signed those guys, last year and the last year or two. So it was confusing. I understand why it was confusing. They did not get any players in the draft. I keep in mind that by virtue of making the trade, not only did they get off of Kemba Walker's contract, which is in the $9 million range, they also got off of the draft pick salary slot in that late lottery range. So they have, probably around $20 to $25 million. They will be able to re-sign Jalen Brunson. Some of the reporting from Mark Stein and others this afternoon seems to indicate that that's the way they're going to go. Keep in mind the connections there too. Leon Rose, the president of basketball operations, it was Brunson's agent. They just hired Rick Brunson, his father, on Tom Thibodeau's staff. And Jalen Brunson's current agent is Leon Rose's son. So there are a lot of connections. Clearly the Mavericks will want to retain Brunson, but he is an unrestricted free agent. He's free to sign with any team he wants. And I think, he's target 1A for the New York Knicks.
And on that note with Jalen Brunson, The last time the Knicks had a point guard worth anything, Michael Jordan probably only had 3 rings. I think it was before the second half of that dynasty. It's been almost my entire life they haven't been able to figure out the point guard situation here in New York. You've been all over it on Twitter. If you're the New York Knicks and you've cleared out this cap space, $100 million player in Jalen Brunson, have we seen enough? Is that a mistake in waiting in a long line of Knicks mistakes over the last 30 years?
Frankly, I'm not sure what choice they have. I mean, this is not a great free agent class. Jalen Brunson is young. He's talented. He's unrestricted. He does have some limitations. Obviously, he's not a high-level NBA athlete, but the guy's a basketball savant. He really knows how to play the game. He's got a good feel. Here's a challenge, guys, and this isn't being talked about enough. The Dallas Mavericks can give Jalen Brunson 5 years on a contract. They're the only team that can do that. So if they want to outbid the Knicks, they can outbid the Knicks. And a lot of that would be maybe not year over year, but in terms of total dollars. So if Brunson gets a, say, 4-year, $100 million offer from the Knicks at 25 a year, and the Mavs go, let's say, 5 years at 110, 120, which one is better? Which one does he prefer? I don't know, but I think that's what's going to happen over the next week or so is there'll be a recruiting battle for Jalen Brunson. It's a great spot for Brunson to be in individually because I think he will get overpaid, but guess what? That's usually the way free agency goes, especially when you have a relatively weak free agent class at the top and multiple teams who are trying to contend in New York and Dallas, who just went to the Western Conference Finals, who want Jalen Brunson.
Ryan, we got a couple minutes left. Just looking at the rest of the first round as a whole, we obviously don't have time to ask you about every individual pick. I know you love Benedict Mathurin at 6. The Indiana Pacers ended up selecting him. We talked about his draft position prop yesterday. So if we go 7 on for the entire rest of the first round, so Shaedon Sharpe at 7 to Portland on, give me one pick here in about 60 to 90 seconds where you feel like the team completely nailed it and one where you were like completely scratching your head.
Well, I love what the Detroit Pistons did with not only getting Jaden Ivey at 5. He was my favorite player in the draft and I think has a chance to be the best player to come out of this year's draft class. But to get Jalen Duren at 13, I had at Duren as a mid-lottery grade in this year's draft. That was a trade, the complicated trade involving the Knicks and Hornets and a few other teams. But, anytime you have a chance to get a guy who's probably the best perimeter player in the draft in Jaden Ivey and a guy who has a chance to be one of the best big men, probably the best center to come out of this draft in Jalen Duren, and you add to Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, and your young talented core, and you retain enough cap space to potentially go after DeAndre Ayton or another young talented player in free agency. I love what the Detroit Pistons did. On the downside, I guess I don't have anybody to nitpick too hard. I mean, the Knicks, obviously what they did was more future looking and forward looking. Memphis, I think got like David Roddy, a lot of teams had him, and Jake LaRavia, talented players, but maybe less upside. But again, Memphis is drafted very well. I don't have anybody that I would crush from the mid-lottery to the late first round.
You can follow Ryan McDonough on Twitter at MCDNBA. He's the Odyssey Sports NBA insider. Ryan, thanks so much for joining You Bet again, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That was Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough on the Roman guest line. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to getroman.com/BetQL now to get $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/BetQL. All right, plenty to get into off of that interview. Ken, I think there's something we could directly link Jalen Brunson to off of our Nets conversation as well, which all ties into all sorts of crazy futures as well. And the Eastern Conference, I think, can literally be rocked. So I think we can expand upon that next segment, if you will.
Yeah, no, sounds good. It's some good stuff there. I you don't want to like bash anybody's first round pick necessarily. And I agree, there wasn't one that I was just like, wait, what? And if there were, he made a really good point. It was like Memphis, except Memphis is like the most A++++ drafting team. Right. They took these guys and I was like, wait, what? And then I go, oh, well, that guy's going to be amazing. Like the Spurs back in the day. They're just going to be amazing.
You trust them. So, well, plenty to get into. We'll react to some things Ryan McDonough said and expand upon a little bit. Kyrie and Jalen Brunson and whatnot. BetQL here on BetQL. Oops.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.